Our scripture is from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 23. Paul is writing from a prison to the churches of Asia Minor. It's a very important letter. You will notice that the phrase in this past song, "Open the eyes of our heart," are contained in this very scripture. Paul writes, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart opened, you may come to know the hope to which you have been called. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, which is all in all." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a special tree in Oklahoma City. It's over 100 years old. It's beautiful. It's healthy. But it's not famous because of that. It's famous for what it survived. The Oklahoma City bombing. When that tragic event took place, this tree was not far from the explosion. The shreds of glass were thrust into its trunk. Fire scorched it. Half the tree was torn away. Leaves were all gone, and as well as limbs. And people said, "The tree has died." But shortly thereafter, people began to notice a bud of life. And the tree survived. Not only did the tree survive, but it's now become a symbol of hope to all persons who go through tough times. And so it was only natural when 9/11 happened that the people of Oklahoma City took a sapling of that tree and sent it to New York. And now whenever there are tragedies where people go through immeasurable harm, saplings from that tree are sent as a reminder that we can be a people of hope. And that's what Paul is talking about in his letter. "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that with the eyes of your heart opened, you may know what is the hope to which you have been called." Now, when we hear the word hope, it means many different things. Most of the time when we use the word hope, we say, "I hope it's not going to rain on our picnic. I hope this won't be a bad hair day for me. I hope my team wins. I hope I can pass the test. I've got my fingers crossed. I hope so." But we're not talking about that kind of hope today. We're talking about a hope that we can count on. Christian hope is a strong hope, Paul writes, because it's founded on what God has already done in raising Jesus from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Our hope is founded upon what God has already done, what God has promised to do, and even yet has begun to do as we look around to see signs of new life spring forth. I don't know about you, but I like being around people with strong hope. And you know what I've discovered when I'm around people with strong hope who are Christians? It's not so much because they've had an easy life. To the contrary. They've gone through stuff. Hard stuff. But they remain confident. That's what excites me. And that's who Paul was. Now, Paul was quite an interesting character. He's one of those persons I'd like to spend some time with because Lord knows he went through some stuff. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, people are bragging about, you know, their spiritual gifts and about their powers and about their this and about their that. He gets fed up with it and he says, well, let me tell you about what I boast in. I boast in my sufferings. I boast in my weakness. He says, listen to this. 5 times have I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I received stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked, and besides other things, I am under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all my churches. And then he talks about that time when he had the thorn in his flesh. He prayed 3 times that God would remove it, and God said, my grace will stand fast and be sufficient for you. And so he learned that in his weakness, God manifests his power. And so he says now that when he is weak, he is strong. And Paul, no matter how many times you knock him down, he gets back up again because he has hope. But not a willy-nilly kind of hope. He has a confident hope. You know, he wrote a lot about hope. I just wrote down some of the scriptures. I committed them to memory, but the purpose is not to show off. The purpose is to lift up these things, so I'm just going to read them. I've shared this recently with a member of our church who's in prison. He says, sometimes it's very tough in here. I said, you're telling the truth, aren't you? He said, yeah, I'm telling the truth. I said, now I'm going to tell the truth from the book we call God's Word. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. Did Paul do it? Yes. From Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, Paul writes, oh, not only this, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And then the great benediction that I'll give today from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. From Hebrews 6:19. Now, some people say he didn't really write that one, but others say that he did. And I just say it doesn't matter, but it sounds really good, and I'm going to put it in a sermon. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Hope is an anchor of the soul. And lastly, from Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Wow. Well, Paul had a confident hope, but he had been through some stuff. And what he's sharing with us today is, we can have that confident hope no matter what we go through. You know, I love Brennan Manning. He's deceased now. He had struggles in his own life. He struggled with alcoholism. In many ways, it was something right up to the end he struggled with. But he was a former Roman Catholic priest. And then he served as a layperson. But he would go to the gutters of the city to minister to people. He ministered to people in the gutters because he had been in the gutters. He went through all kinds of stuff. He was a man of confident hope. And whenever he would talk, he'd say something like this. And I haven't heard him in person, but I have heard him and I've actually seen him on a DVD. Where he'd say, "But no matter what I go through, I know where I'm going. I'm going to sit at the table at the heavenly banquet. I know I'm going to sit at the table at the heavenly banquet, no matter where I am and no matter what I am going through, I'm bound to sit at the table at the heavenly banquet and feast with Jesus." He had a confident hope. And he said that we're all ragamuffins. None of us are perfect. You know what a ragamuffin is? It's kind of like a little doll that's been played with a lot, you know, and it's, you know, maybe missing some of its parts. It's kind of ragged and pulled apart. And who knows? Maybe the dog chewed on it. I don't know. But a ragamuffin is just that. Ragamuffins, that's what we are. We have in our life setbacks, slip-ups, mess-ups, and hiccups. And we are weak. But we know that our hope is not based on ourselves. We know that our hope is based in Jesus Christ. And we know He has invited us to the table. Because this is where all ragamuffins go to receive grace. This is where all ragamuffins go to receive forgiveness. This is where all ragamuffins go to receive hope. I believe that part of the maturity of a Christian is their capacity to have hope, no matter what. Now, let's imagine that we all had a hope meter right now. Now, our dog, when it wakes up in the morning, is happy, just happy all the time, sits on our bed, and the tail goes, boop, 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 boop. And Polly and I say, "Well, the happy meter is going back and forth." Well, let's say we had a meter that could register the hope that you are living with right now. Would your meter be going like this? Your meter be going like this. If I could see your hope meter, I could tell you some things about yourself. First thing I could tell is whether or not you've been spending time with Jesus. Second thing I could tell is whether you've been engaged in ministry and mission in His name. And the third thing that I could tell you is that you're a candidate to come to the table. And that's the invitation for today. For all ragamuffins, come to the table. And when you leave here, we prepare for Holy Communion through confession of sins. Let us turn now. Christ invites to His table all those who love Him earnestly, seek forgiveness of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Come to the Lord. I'm sorry, go back to that one. I'm not following direction. Come to the Lord's table, all you who love him. Come to the Lord's table, confess your sin. Come to the Lord's table, be at peace. We have not believed you or trusted in your power. Lord, help our unbelief. We have stained our souls by our action and inaction. Cleanse us, Lord. We are broken by disease, bruised by the sins of others, weakened and unable to repair ourselves. Heal us, Lord. We ignore your call to center our lives in you, and so are deaf to the hopes and cries of the poor, the sick, the needy, and the earth. Ground us, Lord. When we confess our sinful ways, God abundantly pardons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Glory to God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to praise you, O God.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is praised among all peoples. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, Almighty One. Blessed are you, Jesus Christ. In the power of your Spirit, you created all things, blessed them, and called them good. You called to yourself a people to make your mercy and truth known in all the world. We betrayed your calling. You were faithful. We wandered from the way. You called us to return and led us home. And still we turned from your ways, abused your creatures, and made ourselves slaves to sin and death. At the right time you came and dwelt among us as one of us, bringing good news to the poor, healing the sick, raising the dead, sharing table with the unrighteous, and teaching the way that leads to life. By your incarnation, life, suffering, execution, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit, and receive us and all your saints to yourself in glory everlasting. On the night of your betrayal, Lord Jesus, you took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to your disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You did the same with the cup after the supper, saying, "The cup that is poured out is the new covenant in my blood." Blessed Trinity, in remembrance of all you have done to save us, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has come among us. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ abides with us. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Make these gifts the body and blood of Christ. Make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Abba, Father, let your kingdom come. Glory to you. Glory to you. Come, Lord Jesus, be our daily bread. Glory to you. Glory to you. Holy Spirit, send us to the world. Glory to you. Glory to you. Holy Blessed Trinity, one God forever. Glory to you. Glory to you. And now let us pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.